Today's Bible reading is from Leviticus 23, verses 1 to 5. Leviticus 23, verses 1 to 5. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, 'These are my appointed feasts, the appointed feasts of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies. There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work. Wherever you live, it is a Sabbath to the Lord. These are the Lord's appointed feasts, the sacred assemblies you are to proclaim at their appointed times. The Lord's Passover begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first month."
Lord, we're here to worship you and to praise you, but also to remember who you are and who we are. Lord, we've sung praises to you. We've heard a children's message. We've already begun reflecting on the Passover and your word to us in Scripture. We've prayed to you. Lord, I pray that all these acts of worship and what we're about to do as well may sink deep into our hearts and souls and minds to shape us and form us more and more into who you've called us to be. And I pray that the words which will be spoken now, may they be your words and not mine. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've just entered into a new church season of the year. And for me, church seasons are just times to really focus in on who God is and who Jesus is. Now we're entering into the season of Lent. It used to be a time where we would give up stuff. We would give up stuff like chocolate, or we give up all kinds of the stuff that we like. I used to always joke I'd give up broccoli and whatever, but apparently that doesn't count because I don't like them anyway, but that's okay. But God gave the Jewish people festivals, gave them feasts, times to come together to help remember, to remember what he's done and who they are. And he said, "I want you to come together regularly. I don't want you to kind of be off on your own all the time." See, they didn't come to church every Sunday morning back then. A lot of times they would just gather together as family. And God said, community is way too important to not come together regularly. And he said, there's nothing more special than to do is to have a feast. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at feasts this Lent, how they point to Jesus as he fulfills them, but also how they're sacred moments that shape us and form us. They're rooted in the stories of Israel, but remember that our stories are rooted in the stories of Israel as well, and it all ties into that big story of God. And these stories have the power to change us. The power to give us hope and strength. Festivals are times of anticipation. It used to be that Lent was a time of somberness and a time of deep reflection on sin. And that's okay, but remember, you can't focus in on your sin without also focusing in on the blood of Christ and the hope that that gives. So we're beginning with Passover. So I'd like to read the Passover story for you as well. It's found, if you'd like to read it yourself along with, it's found in Exodus chapter 12. And I don't have the same Bible as you have there. But here's how it first came about. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you must take them from the sheep or the goats. And take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roasted over a fire, with the head, legs, and internal organs, and don't leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. And this is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. And the blood will be a sign for you in the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt." This is a feast that's all about giving us a new identity, about giving Israel a new identity. See, Israel's have been slaves for 400 plus years. And they identified themselves as slaves, as you see later on as they're wandering in the desert. They were at times even saying, "You know what, I'd rather be back a slave in Egypt where we had lots of good food than be your people." But God says in the Passover, "You're not slaves. You're not connected to Egypt. You're mine." Remember, the book of Exodus starts with God looking down and seeing and hearing the cries of his people. The Passover, it's about slavery. It's about lambs. It's about blood on doorposts. But God saving his people and leading them into freedom. It's interesting. I love how you painted the doorposts. A friend of mine, Carl, I've mentioned him before, is a Messianic rabbi. And he said, "Think of this. They know that an angel of death is coming. They know that they've got to put blood on their doorposts and on their lintels. Picture the father with these branches putting the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. And the kids in the house saying, 'Dad, Dad, what are you doing? Can we help?'" Now the father knows this is going to protect his family. So Carl says, he would have started at the bottom and he would have made sure that it was dripping in blood, because there was no way he wanted the blood of his oldest son to fall and drip on the floor of his house. I wonder sometimes if this is a picture of how we see Jesus' blood. Maybe we don't really need all that much. See, it's about identity. Where do you get your identity from? Passover reminds us that we're no longer slaves to sin. But sin has been a part of us right since the beginning. starts with Adam and Eve already, when they're in the garden and they get to walk with God and they're given one command, don't eat from that tree of knowledge. But they want that knowledge so much. And I'm not going to say that they were evil and wrong in wanting knowledge. Knowledge is good. But God says knowledge of good and evil, trust me. But they don't. And they take and they eat. And then their eyes are open and they know good and evil and they hide and they make clothes out of fig leaves because they're ashamed. They're trying to hide from each other as they hide from God. What does God do? God kills an innocent animal to clothe them. Right from the beginning. Right from the beginning, blood is shed so that they can cover themselves. And it points directly to the blood of Passover and the blood of Jesus on that cross. And we've become slaves to sin. And we need somebody powerful to save us, to cover us with their blood. We need Jesus. And we need all of it. Passover is a crucial moment in Jewish history. It's a big part of their story, a defining moment in their history. They've been slaves for about 400 years, as said, and being slaves is part of who they are. Now Moses, he gets to be raised in Pharaoh's household. But even still, when he's walking among the Jewish people and he sees an Egyptian slave master beating them, he kills him and buries him. He still identifies. And he gets so afraid that he runs away for 40 years until God brings him back to confront Pharaoh. And Moses, he's got to confront Pharaoh because he's been told, you are not a slave. You are mine, and I've called you for a reason. I've called you to lead my people into freedom. And Moses brings with him all these plagues from God that culminates in this last plague of death. But Moses is told, tell your people, tell my people that I'll spare them. You put the blood on the doorposts and I will pass over and I will protect you and I will save you. The story of Passover is a story of freedom, a story of protection. Celebrating Passover takes a lot of careful preparation. 4 days before the feast, you got to pick out your best lamb or your best goat. You got to make sure there is nothing wrong with it. The Jewish people would take the lamb or the goat into their house to become part of their family. Because it makes it more painful than to slaughter it. Makes it more painful and more real and more personal when you put its blood on the doorposts. At twilight on Passover, all the lambs are slaughtered. Their blood spread over the door frames of their home. Because of blood, they're spared from death. The price of innocent blood is what got them their freedom. Passover becomes a symbol of freedom through God, freedom from slavery, freedom to completely be God's people, but it comes at a price of innocent blood. And they carefully prepare. This was not a feast that they fooled around with, and this was not something that they took lightly. And God asks for the best. And he asks for our best as well, because he gives us his best in the end. He gives us his only son. His only son, Jesus, who comes to earth, who lives with us just as a lamb lived in the family home. He became one of us. And then he went to that cross where his blood stained that wood for our freedom. Takes the punishment of death from Adam and Eve onto himself, because we can't. We can't pay the price ourselves. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves acceptable to God. In fact, we make ourselves guiltier every day. It's what the catechism tells us, what scripture tells us. And Jesus' blood keeps that angel of death, keeps that separation from God forever away from us. Because God says, you're mine. You're my people. You're my children. And I will protect you when you can't protect yourselves. And I want you free. I want you free from that sin that just kind of keeps hanging on inside of you. Sin that keeps trying to tell you that your identity is not children of God, but that your identity lies in the stuff around you. It lies in other people's opinions of who you are. And because Jesus' blood covers us, we're free from guilt and shame. You see, it points us to that banquet table in heaven, but it points us straight to the Lord's Supper as well. I love, Terry, how you brought that Lord's Supper in. Because it's a community meal, the Lord's Supper. It reminds us that we're called to come together as well. Just like they came for the Passover from all over Israel into Jerusalem, we come together and we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We do it once a month rather than once a year. I still like to do it every week, but I'll work with worship committee. Because it means so much. Night before his death, Jesus is questioned and tested by the religious and civil leaders, just as a Passover lamb was examined to make sure that it had no faults, no blemishes. In the end, Pilate says, you know what? I find no basis for a charge against him. He is that perfect lamb. And yet at twilight on Passover, as lambs all around Jerusalem are being slaughtered, Jesus, our true Passover lamb, is led to judgment and then to a wooden cross, and his blood is poured out. But Jesus rises from the grave to show us that sin and death have been conquered, that sin and death can't hold us down either, because we're joined to him. Because Jesus' blood has been shed for our sins, ours doesn't have to. When Jesus first appears in the Gospel of John, John the Baptist says, hey, look, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John gets it. He understands who Jesus is, why he's come, and what this means. See, Jesus comes not just to die on the cross, but to retell the whole story of Israel's salvation. The story of God's salvation for us, and to live it out. Changing the story from innocent lambs shedding their blood for us to God himself shedding his blood for his people through Jesus. Because Jesus has changed the story, our story changes too. We change from people who are slaves to sin and fear and death to people free to live rich, abundant lives. Free from fear and anxiety. Free to embrace what's ever going on in our lives, no matter how good or how bad. Knowing that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Our identities are changed. We're no longer slaves to the things that wrap us up in their chains, our secret addictions, our false identity given to those around, given to us by those around us, our slaves, our chains to our work, our looks, or other people's view of who we are. Those who trust in Jesus are brought from death into life. We're given new identities as children of God, as brothers and sisters of Jesus. We're brought out of a life that is oriented to meaningless pursuits and empty promises into the promise of a full, wonderful life. And wonderful doesn't mean easy. But wonderful means that you know who you are and you know that you never walk alone. We often let other people give us our identity, good or bad. For years, I thought I was going to be a failure because I had been told that should I drop out of school, should I leave home, that I would never amount to anything. And I lived with that. See, I wanted to please my parents. I wanted to live up to everybody's expectations, and I knew I couldn't, so it was easier to run away, even though I knew I was accepting this title of failure in my own life. And it was a padre who encouraged me to go back to church. It was at a High Lutheran Mass that had sunk in what Jesus had done for me. And my identity changed from being a failure and being a disappointment to being a child of God. As a youth pastor in Ellendale, I walked along youth high school students in the alternative high school. Many of them had been rejected by their parents, rejected by the regular high school. They were looked on as losers, and nobody wanted to see them. Their school was hidden away. You didn't really know where it was. Nobody wanted them. A lot of them, even their parents. And I remember meeting with one girl in the school doctor's office, and she was crying. And she says, I'm not worth anything. I've got nothing to live for. And I knew her history. She was a girl that all the boys would hook up with at a bush party or someplace else. She gave herself to any boy who showed her any kind of kindness or love. But then they would just throw her away. They used her. She just saw herself as nothing. And I remember telling her, you know what? Do you know that you're actually a princess? You are a princess in God's eyes. You are a child of His, and He loves you so much. And if He's king of the world, that means you're a princess of this world. And she says, are you sure? Can that be real? She left a little while later. And what happens with pastors is we have to leave. We have to go someplace else. But I got an email from her about 3 or 4 years later. She says, I got baptized. Now I know I'm a princess in God's eyes. I'm getting married. And do you know what He calls me? He calls me His princess. I told Him about our conversation. And she says, every time He calls me princess, I remember how much God loves me. That's what the Passover is about. It reminds us that instead of finding our identity in the things and the people of this world, we receive our identity as precious, beloved children of God through Jesus Christ, through His sacrificial blood on the wooden frame of the cross. saved from the brokenness of our sin and set free to be life changers. Life changers in a world that we share with others. There are so many people today who are hurting. So many people who struggle with self-identity. That's why there is so much suicide, so much cutting, so much self-harm going on in our society. That's why there's so much abuse going on. And the blood of Jesus can change that. God says, I choose you as my children. And I send you like I send Moses to set my people free. Let them know who they are. Let them know that they belong to me. And that I can set them free. That I can give them a new identity. That they no longer have to be slaves. I learned that God loves me more than I could ever have imagined. He even died for me. And if God is King of the universe, you are each princesses and princes in the kingdom of heaven. Following Jesus really does change your life every day. Because you know that he protects you, he loves you, he died for you. He's given you his spirit as a guide through life and a reminder that you are his brothers and sisters. Know, not just with your head, but know with your heart that you are precious, precious children of God. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for the Passover, for the Lord's Supper, for your Son's blood on the cross, for setting us free so that we can know who we really are, your children. And Lord, help us. Help us to share that good news with all those around us. And some people may not accept it, but we never know who will, whose life can be forever changed by knowing how much you love them. Thank you. Amen.